Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck, and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. The Sokol settlement in Moscow is a relic of early Soviet Russia and its revolutionary attempts at new forms of housing and work management. The historic cottages in this utopian suburban enclave are now in bad need of repair. But they sit on some of the most expensive real estate in Moscow, attracting rich new owners. As a result, there are many new builds, often of inferior architectural quality. Monocle's Alexei Korolev explores.
No matter how bad the economy, the construction cranes in Moscow are never still. But it feels like there's no coherence, no vision to this never-ending building boom. Mind you, it wasn't always like that. Far be it from me to sing the praises of Soviet Russia, but particularly in those early days, they seemed to know what they were doing, at least in theory.
I'm an architect based in Moscow, Maria Kramer, and right now I'm standing in front of one of these houses in the settlement Sokol, constructed in the 20s in the suburbs of Moscow. Now, this island is actually in the middle of the city.
Then, as now, the Sokol settlement in northern Moscow was a pioneering experiment in urban living. A housing cooperative, one of the first in the new Soviet Russia. Anyone could join, provided they put up the cash. Then, as now, it was a unique take on the idea of the Garden City, first proposed by British architect and social reformer Sir Ebenezer Howard in the 1890s. Here's Maria Kramer again.
So an interesting part is that urbanistically, it's a mixture of a garden city and a countryside settlement. The ideas of a garden city were formed by the Brits, and these ideas were brought to the Russian context, but they were transformed in a very unique way.
Now, the Soviets reckoned that if successful, this model could be replicated right across the country as a way of tackling an acute housing crisis triggered by the revolution. But when Joseph Stalin came to power, there was no place anymore for that kind of starry-eyed utopianism. And so the Sokol settlement remains a one-off.
Да, я Глеб Наприенко. То ли потом, то ли изначально возникло здесь что-то кооператив, такой, ну, это был НЭП, по НЭПовскому такому.
The great-grandparents of Gleb Napryenko were among the first to move in. What they felt about it is lost to history. But Gleb says he didn't think it was anything special. Well, not at first.
Я не очень понимал, что что-то особенное. В смысле, что это что-то особенное, я понял потом. Вот, как-то постфактум. Потому что сейчас я понимаю, что это странно расти в Москве в собственном доме с участком. Вот, тогда, ну, для меня это было...
Now I understand how strange it was to grow up in Moscow in your own house. To this day, when someone from the settlement needs to go somewhere, they say, I'm going to the city. And of course, when I invite friends over, they're always impressed and surprised.
Like many in the settlement, the Napryenko house is timber-framed and humble. Most of it is hidden behind a row of trees, and there's a large garden out the back where the family grow a few bits and pieces and have barbecues in the summer. If it weren't for the high-rises around us and the distant rumble of a motorway, we could be deep in the Russian countryside. Indeed, in Soviet times, some residents even kept livestock. But of course, it's not all idyll. After the Soviet Union collapsed and Russia suffered one economic crisis after another, many residents sold up and left. What happened afterwards is an all-too-familiar story. The new owners, usually wealthy Russians, often knocked down the original buildings and replaced them with grotesquely oversized monstrosities.
Вот, и которые, в частности, вот один из первых, впрочем, домов, такой как бы постмодернизм, что это, как сказать, ну, а как сказать, даже...
The property next to the Napryenkos is one such, although Gleb says it's not half as bad as some of the others.
Это сейчас кажется, что это не самый вопиющий из домов на поселке, вот, потому что он как бы на самом деле с каким-то вот, с какой-то придумкой, такой постмодернистской типа игрой с тем, что здесь было на этой...
Activists have long bemoaned what they describe as the destruction of the settlement's historic fabric and architectural unity. But not everybody agrees.
Да, эти ребят, конечно, приходят, они под корень все рубят. Но правда, им дано указание.
Like the Naprienkos, Tatiana Fidish is one of the old guard. Herself an artist, her father was a well-known sculptor. He even had a studio attached to the family house. Now, she says the settlement is still there because of those new wealthy residents.
Nobody talks about this for some reason, but without these people, the settlement would cease to exist. It has survived through their money. Don't forget that we are independent of the city and have our own council. There is a constant fight between the defenders of the old order and those new Russians with their palaces, but they are helping.
And so the Sokol settlement remains a one-off, a reminder of a utopian dream, but also of the power of money, a garden city, but also a village, a place of rest, but also a place of destruction. For Monocle in Moscow, I'm Alexei Korolev.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. And our thanks to Alexei Korolev for today's episode. Remember to tune in on Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye. And thank you for listening, city lovers.